Force Exchange, episode number 133. And we have a final four. But it doesn't include Duke, which I'm very upset about.
Bama stands. Bama.
Don't give a piss about nothing but the Tide. Hey, we said Bama could win that game easily.
I said they were going to win.
I said they were going to win.
All right, I guess we both did. No, maybe. You said UNC. I said Bama was going to win. I'm going to get the clip.
Okay, all right, get the clip ready. All right. Final four set, UConn, Alabama, Purdue, NC State, which means Duke season is over. I will recap that unfortunate circumstance. Opening day. On the bright side, Yankees are 6-1 going into the off day, going into the home opener. The Mets, they're winning. They're winning right now.
But they're 0-4.
But they're 0-4.
You know, instead, I really thought it was going to be the pitching, but apparently they can't hit either. So, you know, it really just comes down to being bad at baseball, and that's where we're at right now.
And they also don't know how to break up double plays.
It's not ideal right now, but you know what? Get the losses out early. Last time they started 0-4, they finished 83-79. So,
is that what you really want, though?
No. But honestly, that's better than I expected. I mean, let's be real here. We just signed Julio Teheran. Like, it's not looking good.
I forget who it was. Someone tweeted like Teheran highlights. I was like, number one, that's during the Obama administration. Number two. That's Nick Castellanos of the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah, it's just he hasn't been good for years, so I'm not really sure what the plan is here, but we'll see.
We'll see. Hockey, Rangers and Devils, that was a barn burner. Holy shit.
What a game.
What a game. Hockey's back. Hockey's
the Isles side of things. They're alive, baby. They're somehow alive. It really doesn't make sense. If they win tonight, that's three in a row. They got Columbus. I mean, they should. If they do, Pittsburgh wins. We're in a playoff spot. I mean, it's a weird time to be an Isles fan. Let's be honest here, but we're fighting tooth and nail, yeah, and I love
definitely.
It.
There we go. Just had to get the phone charger out of the way there. Basketball, some bad news for Knicks fans. Julius Randle has elected to undergo season-ending shoulder surgery. He will be reevaluated in 5 months. It hurts.
Right around playoff time. That's not good. That's a big offensive spark for you. Yeah, that's not good.
It hurts. It hurts a lot. Especially with how far they're dropping in the standings right now. It's not
looking great. It's not ideal.
It isn't ideal. For once, we thought the Garden was Eden, and it wasn't.
It'll always be TD.
So, shut the fuck up.
Let's just start. Anyway. You know what, Stan? Let's get to the biggest news. Out of them all, Stephon Diggs is no longer a Buffalo Bill.
Oh, shit. I'm such an idiot. Yeah, Stephon Diggs is a Houston Texan, for God's sake. I feel like there's always... Yeah, we'll start with Stephon Diggs. I feel like there's always been smoke with Stephon Diggs these last couple of years, where it's sort of like... How do I put this? There's always like rumors about it, but then those rumors always get shot down. Like it happened last summer. It happened the summer before. I just would have never have thought it would come to fruition. The fact that he would get traded.
No, and neither did I. And he got moved for a second. I think a fifth and a sixth, which the Bills immediately flipped for something. I'm not sure what they got in return. But I mean, it feels like a Kyrie Irving situation back with Cleveland. I think he was kind of sick. Well, I mean, they were losing a little bit. They never really got it done. But I think he was kind of sick of being overshadowed. I mean, the media was saying, you know, Josh Allen didn't need him, and he was only being successful because of Allen. I think it was really time for him to get out of there. And I think he's going to flourish in Houston. I mean, their offense is – they got weapons, Stan.
Yeah, they do have major weapons. It's – They're without a doubt an easy favorite to win the division.
I'm sorry, Jaguars fans.
I know. Sorry, Jacksonville. You had your 1 year. You had your moment,
and they blew it,
and it vanished. You had that one moment. You were down. What was it? What were they down? Like 31-0 against the Chargers. They came back and won.
Yeah, I don't know. They blew it.
I had Jags money line too. That was awesome. So CJ Stroud's definitely. Gotta have weapons. And now people with the whole, like, Mahomes versus whoever is the next Brady Manning. I feel like the Peyton Manning role has been changed at least 5 times. Because it was Mahomes and Allen, then it was Mahomes and Burrow, then at one point it was Mahomes and Jackson, and then now it's Mahomes and Stroud.
Like, it's Mahomes versus everyone else right now, and I think Houston has a real shot. I don't know. They were good defensively last year. They got better if they draft well. Oh, yeah. Their offense really doesn't need any weapons. The O-line's nice. CJ Stroud had a phenomenal year. I don't see him taking a step back.
This is a well-built team. This is a very well-built team.
And you know what? We're seeing
in year two.
Yeah, and you know what, Stan? You know what we're seeing? We're seeing a lot of, like, very quick turnaround rebuilds for teams. You look at Houston. You look at Green Bay. I think it's you find your guy, you get that quarterback, you get a good O-line, and things will fall into place. And it sucks because the Jets have been going through a rebuild for about 13 years, and the Giants sort of the same. So I'm not sure what we're doing wrong, but every other team seems to have it figured out.
I'm going into year six with Daniel Jones. Like, let's all be honest here. I'm low-key kind of over it. There's so much. I mean, like, I don't want to, like, dissect into it because and say, like, who won the trade because fuck it. I'll give a hot take. This is the Jets division to lose. I'll say it.
That's what I'm saying. Jets are the biggest winners out of all of this. This is their division to lose now. And I think on paper, they got a better offense than the Bills. They got a better defense. They got a better defense than Miami. Their offense now with Rodgers is comparable. This is really a scary Jets team if they could stay healthy and have a decent O-line.
Injuries.
But if they could stay healthy and have a good O-line, I don't know, Stan. I know the window's a little tight, but come on. You got to like it with Rodgers.
I like their chances with Aaron Rodgers. As long as he doesn't get hurt, as long as Mike Williams doesn't get hurt, as long as anybody else does not get hurt, I think this is the Jets division to lose. Who's Josh Allen throwing the ball to? I'm sorry. Like, there's
Khalil Shakir,
like,
whatever.
Curtis Samuel. Unless they're going to draft a receiver.
I think they're banking right now that their tight ends will be more like a Kelce role, which I don't know.
We'll see. And keep in mind, too, the Texans have Joe Mixon as well. I, like, completely forgot about that.
No, they're a good team. They're a real good team.
They're a good team, man. All right. Going to the Final Four. Final Four is set. We have UConn and Alabama, Purdue, and NC State. This is let's just talk about Duke for a second, because I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this. Good win against Houston. The haters say that if Jamal Shedd was hurt, it wasn't hurt, it'd be a different result. Do I believe that? Kinda, but I'm never going to admit it. A win's a win in March.
It didn't matter in the end. They ran into the hot train, Stan. NC State, also, they've won like 10 straight.
I know. But here's the thing with Duke and the whole Jamal Shedd thing. In 2012, do you remember the game where Kevin Ware snapped his leg, obviously? I think you remember that. Yes. Louisville, after that, looked like the 95-96 Bulls against Duke. After their teammate just snapped his leg. So, injury or not.
I mean, that's a little bit of motivation, though. Dude's leg was sticking out of his body.
Yeah, I mean, their best player just freaking sprained his ankle.
Is Kevin Ware, was he really their best player?
I wouldn't say he was their best player in that team, surprisingly, was Gorgie Dang. That's a name. that's a name I completely forgot about. But I'm just going to – now let's go to the NC State game. First half was great. First half was really great. You're hitting your threes. You're playing good defense. You're basically executing the same game plan that you had the past two games against NC State, where you sort of just let DJ Burns get his, like, just let him feast, worry about the other four guys in the court, and just rely on your offense and make shots.
The ACC second half was not nice.
Yeah. The ACC tournament, that did not happen. And then in the second half of Sunday, that did not happen. I cannot believe I'm saying this. Of the top five Duke losses that I've had to endure, within the last like 10 years, this is without a doubt a top five.
Yeah, there was a lot of hype around this Duke team. They seem to have somewhat of an easier path compared to the other teams getting here.
And you can talk about the path all you want. James Madison was a good team. Houston's a good team. Even without Jamal Shedd, they're a very good team.
And but I'm just saying that they had – it really seemed like the stars were aligning, and then they let up 55 points in the second half to NC State.
Yeah. No, it's – it is what it is. It is what it is. I think the fact that they even made the Elite Eight with this roster is a miracle within itself, because the worry going into that year was we don't really have a true – like a true five. So I'm kind of just numb to it at this point. I mean, I feel like you're curious now. Do you want to hear my top five Duke losses that I've had to suffer through?
I mean, you seem like you want to tell me, so you might as well.
All right. Yeah, fine. Honorable mention, 2012. No, not 2012. 2011, when they lost to Lehigh. It's an honorable mention because CJ McCollum is on that team. And there was little to no – there were no national championship aspirations for Duke that year. And really, that team has just shined through the Austin Rivers buzzer beater against UNC. Number five, Mercer, 2014. How do I put this? Basically the same thing as 2012, but Mercer did not have an NBA player. That's basically – I mean, come on. That white kid hitting the nay-nay in celebration, it's just like an image stuck in my head. I remember being in fifth grade in middle school, and this was back in the day when, you know, like, kids still had flip phones. Like,
yeah.
I had a flip phone.
I mean, I had one too.
I just knew that Duke was just going to lose first round because they just didn't show any fight. And I just remember like my mom like looking at me, and I'm like, I know they're losing. I don't even have to look at the score. I know they lost. And then she's like, how the fuck did you know? I'm like, I know. I just know. I just knew. Number four, NC State. You're 7.5-point underdogs against an in-conference, in-state rival. You're up 7.5. And then it all kind of just fell apart. And I'll leave it at that. Number three, 2018, the Wendell Carter charge that should have been a charge, but instead was called a blocking foul. Came down to a last-second Grayson Allen shot. And Tim, the thought in my head was, this is his Christian Laettner moment, where it's like, okay, he's going to hit the buzzer beater. He's going to send his team to the Final Four, and he will forever live in Duke infamy. He will live in Duke infamy forever. He will be the most, he's already a top three, but it solidified him as a top three most hated player ever. And he rimmed out, and that was bad. Number two, Michigan State, 2019 Elite Eight. Cam Reddish plays that game, different story. And it was the last time I ever saw Zion Williamson play basketball in a Duke uniform. I remember being at Yankee Stadium. My parents got right field line seats in the front row for their anniversary. And I remember there was a 2-hour rain delay, and I was just sweating the game on my phone watching it. And it was
not a good
finish. It wasn't fun. And I think you know what number one is. You know what number one is. I mean, people called me the next morning to make sure I was alive. Like, I saw the text with my mom. She's like, are you up? I go, unfortunately, yes. That's it. All right. Enough with the Duke lore. Cooper Flag season coming up next. I'm very excited for it. All right.
I mean, Stan, they were an 8 seed, too.
NC State.
No, UNC.
Oh, yeah, UNC was an 8 seed, yeah.
You guys were two.
They were 2 seed. I just can't stop thinking about it. All right. Let's go to the Final Four. I know. Believe me, I know. Purdue is – it seems like the stars are aligning for a UConn-Purdue Final Four.
Not going to happen. I think the exact opposite, Stan. I really do.
Oh, Tim.
I am playing with the hot hand.
Tim. Oh, my God. Really?
Stan, I think this year is just a year of miracles for some of these teams. And the way NC State's been playing, are you really think they don't have a shot against Purdue? Really?
I mean, we said the same thing about Loyola Chicago in 2018, where they were like, oh, they're riding the hot hand, 11 seed going to the Elite Eight or going to the Final Four. And then the same thing was said about UCLA in 2021. They lose. I don't think a double-digit seed has ever won a game in the Final Four. VCU, like...
I look at who they've played to get here. I look at what they've done in these past few games. You beat UNC. You beat Marquette. You beat Duke. You beat Texas Tech. I mean, you can even go further back. They beat Duke before then. They are on fire.
Okay. I know they're on fire, but the thing is, I'm not going to call it lucky. They're an 11 seed going to the Final Four. That takes skill. Look at the three-point shooting percentages from the Texas Tech game to now. Texas Tech was a good offensive team. I think they shot like...
Stan, straight wins, which include against UNC, two against Duke, one against UVA, one against Syracuse, who was a good team. Louisville. Go up, Marquette, number two seed.
Louisville. Did you just say Louisville? Kenny James, Louisville.
Duke twice. UNC twice. I don't know. They are on fire. Was Loyola Chicago on this kind of a run when they got to this spot? I mean, who did they beat? They didn't beat teams like Duke. To 10 straight to get there. Win their ACC tournament. Beat Duke twice. Beat UNC. Like, these are top-tier programs that they had to go through to get to this spot. And I've seen Zach Edey fall short how many times now? Zach Edey? How many times?
Twice.
Two times? And how many years been in college? Like 100?
He was a bench player on that when they lost to St. Peter's, but I'll spread the Edey hate and say twice.
I don't know. The way they're playing.
All right,
it's really hard for me not to see them winning.
I think it comes down to 3-point shooting, because I'm not disregarding this NC State run. Texas Tech shot 22% from three in the first round game. Oakland. Got to keep in mind, too, they got a pretty favorable look. Let's just say if they play Kentucky, things might be different. But who knows? It's John Calipari in March. Oakland shot 34% from three. All right, fair. Oakland's a good three-point shooting team. Marquette shot 12% from three. They're a good three-point shooting team.
Okay, but then what does that say about their defense?
They're not but here's the thing. They weren't even hitting wide-open threes, Marquette. They let the guy shoot. Duke shot 25% from three when they're one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country. All I'm going to say is it's going to come down to three-point shooting.
Okay.
If Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer, and Lance Jones all are hitting a good amount of open standstill threes, Purdue dominates. If Purdue misses those threes, NC State has a chance.
Okay, but here's my thing. You're saying that there's a trend of teams shooting bad, you know, three-point percentage against them. This is 10 straight games of teams doing that. 10 times. I mean, they have forced bad shots for 10 straight games. They have forced bad good three-point shooting teams to shoot bad for 10 straight games. Is it a coincidence that Duke does it twice? I don't know. UNC does it. Is that a coincidence? Who knows? That's early in a row. Now they go to the tournament. It's four times in a row now. This isn't a coincidence. This is a trend. This is a trend of what's going on. They're playing a good brand of basketball, forcing bad shots. Teams aren't hitting their threes, and they're winning games. If they can keep doing that, I see no problem in them winning this game. None.
All
because right. say Duke's in this spot, right? And you're going to take Duke because I know you're a Duke fan.
Yeah.
But even not, you would say what? They're a better three-point shooting team, right? You'd probably take Duke in this spot.
They can score the ball better, but here's the thing. Like, Purdue is a pretty damn good three-point shooting team as well. Like, that's – I wouldn't be worried. Here's the thing. If Duke played Purdue, I wouldn't be worried about the guards. I'd be more worried about who the fuck's going to guard Zach Edey.
Okay. Fair enough. But now, even if we look to the others, now we're worried about the guards. I just don't see it happening. I really don't. I mean, how many points is Braden Smith averaging per game?
In the tournament or overall?
I mean, just in general.
Because in the tournament, he's averaging like a double-double in points and assists. Like, it's actually
Well,
insane.
I mean, yeah, he's just giving it the ED scoring every time. I mean, I could average 10 assists.
Yeah. Braden Smith is
all
averaging...
I'm
12-7-5, shooting 44% from three.
Okay. All I'm saying
is, oh fuck.
I'm not, because Jared McCanchu from 40%? There's guys who he put up 32, obviously. Yeah, great game. But you have other guys in that team that shot a good percentage too that weren't hitting their threes. It's just, listen.
McCain shot 41% from three.
All right, but if they can hold one guy to doing that, the scoring points, and that'll just be Edie. I'm just saying. They're putting the ball in the hoop. They're scoring efficiently. They've been playing good defense. Teams really haven't been putting points up on them. They held Marquette to 58. Well, Oakland's Oakland. I'm not even going to worry about that. But I mean, Texas,
it's Oakland.
Yeah, Texas 67. What was Duke? 64. I mean, they're keeping games low scoring. They're putting points. I'm just saying. I think you're discrediting them. I think you hate them because they beat Duke.
I'm not hating. I'm saying it. Here's a trend that I just saw. Since 2012, teams are 2-7 straight up and against the spread the round after beating Duke in the tournament. They are also 3-10 straight up in the past 15 years.
You got to win sometime.
We'll see. Next up, UConn, Alabama. This is definitely going to be a very interesting matchup, solely based on the fact that these two, like, UConn's a more...
I can't wait to watch this game.
It's going to be so good.
I love the way Alabama plays basketball so much. I love it, and I love watching them play. And they're cooking with it right now.
Did you see that clip of their practice?
No, what is it? Just like full court runs.
Literally just like a three-man weave you do in like middle school basketball. Like it wasn't like...
They're keeping it simple. They're letting them play offense. I love it. I love it so much. They have trust in their players. You know what? And it could be pure hatred for UConn because I don't want to see them win again. I mean, do you really want to? No. And I think...
I mean, a lot of Duke fans would not want to see UConn win this.
Stan, how electric...
I am not one of them.
How
crazy... Because I like Danny Hurley, but yes, it would be pretty electric if Alabama goes to the fucking national championship and wins.
Because it's not even like... it is Bama. Like, that's a crazy part of it. But, like, the way they play basketball, that championship game is going to be like 110 to like 104. And it's just going to be the most electric championship game.
It's a big total. 160.5, although it is a big spread at 11.5. Here's the thing. Here's what this game's going to come down to is if UConn is able to stop this Alabama offense.
Nobody has.
That's the thing. If UConn's able to play at their pace, that's the thing. It all comes down to pace. Because if this is a track meet, Alabama's got a good shot at winning this game. If Connecticut slows the pace down, if they're able to, you know, run their offense, get shots up, like burn the shot clock, I think they dominate here. And plus, we got to remember UConn's non-conference schedule this year. It was tough. Their one loss was against Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse, where that's like the most impossible place to win on the road. So, and it came down to the last shot. So, I'm gonna take UConn. I'm gonna take UConn here, and I'll leave it at that.
Give me Bama.
Don't give a piss about nothing but the Tide, do you?
Don't we? We just want to see the Tide win. I mean, everything's better when Bama's winning something at sports. I just think college sports in general just gets so much more exciting.
Yeah. Who is your national champion? Well, because by the time
if Bama wins this game, they're winning the national championship.
Oh my god. Yeah. I have a UConn Purdue national championship.
Roll Tide. Oh, I have a UConn Purdue. Got a little jingle.
On a Tennessee Saturday night.
Roll Tide.
Did you see Willie at spring practice for Alabama?
No. What was it?
Oh my god. One of like the defensive assistants had like a walkie-talkie to like call a play. He's like, Willie, call the play. And he goes, Blitz, Bama, Blitz.
They're winning the national championship next year. If it's not Oregon, it's Bama.
It's DeBoer. All right, I have a UConn Purdue national championship.
Complete opposite.
I'm gonna ride the I'm gonna ride the trend. UVA knocked out as a one seed against a 16. Next year won the national championship. I think Purdue does the same.
You know what? Good for you for taking it, Stan. But I think we both want to see Alabama win.
Oh, I would be very happy to see Alabama win. There is no doubt in my mind. But if Alabama, I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this. I put a future on Purdue. So
fingers crossed.
I put a future on Purdue. So I'm really just like.
Roll up the wall.
I'm an Edie guy this weekend. I'm an all-in Zach Edie guy. Let's see. Let's talk some women's basketball. Let's say we got a matchup of the year tomorrow.
Paige Beckers is getting it done. Call me crazy.
I think so too.
100%.
People forget Paige Beckers' freshman year because it was a COVID year. And she was breaking every record known to man. And then she gets hurt for two seasons. I think she missed what it was. But she was injured her sophomore season. And then she tore her ACL in a summer workout, which made her miss all of last season. And no disrespect to Caitlin Clark, but Paigey Buckets, man. I'm excited.
So am I. I really think she wins this game.
This could be like a revenge factor solely based on the fact that like you saw that story how like Caitlin Clark wanted to go to UConn and Gino was just like didn't show up to her game.
But you know what? You know what, Stan? I like the Paige Beckers return story a lot better.
I do too. Let me call my boy Connor, who is a big time women's basketball fan. I did bet on LSU and Iowa. Or not. I bet on LSU and Iowa. That hit, thanks to Connor. I also bet on UConn as well to cover against USC. This shit's entertaining, man. That's all I'm going to say. I'm texting
NC State.
Right now.
NC State be USC?
No. Need picks for women's Final Four.
Give me UConn, USC. UConn win it all. I really think they get it done.
I think South Carolina wins it. I think
Paige and them. Paige and them.
Paige and them. That's insane. Paige and them. Unbelievable.
Aaliyah Edwards is pretty good, too.
Aaliyah,
whatever.
Aaliyah Edwards. NIT final tonight. Shout out Nick Crocker, Seton Hall.
That's no one's watching that.
They're going up against what's his name? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in Indiana State.
Give me Indiana State by a million. That's a revenge tour for them. They should be in this tournament. They'd be in the final four.
It's a revenge tour for Seton Hall as well. They should have been in the tournament. They clearly should have been in the tournament. Anyway, I'm just sending the lines over to Connor, and we will have a women's pick, hopefully, during this episode. Moving on, opening day. Should we start off with the Mets, or should we save...
We can just get it out of the way early, because there's not really much.
We need to talk about it, though. The Reese Hoskins situation. Was it dirty? Did you think that maybe McNeil overreacted because of the history?
Listen, there's a rule in place now. When you start your slide with no intention of hitting the bag, you're outside of the line. You have no intention of hitting the bag. No, not even. And this isn't even like a. I get it. It is a takeout slide. I get it. But they took that out of the game. There's a long history with these teams. Reese Hoskins just tore his ACL. If this isn't the Mets, he's not doing that. Let's be honest here. Really, he's not. He's not doing that. And him giving the crying whatever face to McNeil, we don't like each other, all right? Awesome. You can take the scum out of Philly, you can't take the Philly out of the scum, and he stinks. I hate him. He's the longest home run trot in MLB history against the Mets. I mean, there's just a long history of these guys not liking each other, and I think that just continued on the field. Do I think it was crazy dirty like Udly? No, and obviously. Okay.
Here's where I stand on this. Do I think that Reese Hoskins – I don't think the – that's where I kind of like – I get that there's history, but I don't think that slide was dirty.
I think you got to look at where he started it. because he starts pretty close to the bag with no intention of getting to the bag, and it's outside the line. So he's not even, his foot's not even going to the bag. It's outside the line. He's going for the knee.
Okay. I think that McNeil, if that was anybody else, he brushes that off. I think McNeil was more upset at the what could have happened.
I think he was more upset that it was Rhys Hoskins.
And then what sent him over the edge was the fact that it was Rhys Hoskins.
And you know what? I said this too to my dad. I think you can partially put the blame on Lindor because that really wasn't a good toss. I mean, we wouldn't be in the situation if he put it right in the right spot. He threw it a little low. McNeil had to adjust. If he throws that into his chest, we're not even worried about this. That's off the bag, the first base. So, you know, things could be, you know, you can blame everyone.
Did you see the John Boy video?
I don't like Rhys Hoskins, so I'm not a fan.
Did you see the John Boy video?
No.
Okay. Apparently, the Mets are, I wouldn't necessarily say, they're not trying to break up double plays. That's where I kind of like lose the sense of what, like, who's preaching? Because then you see like videos of McNeil kind of just like ducking when the ball goes to second. Is it like a gamesmanship thing? Does the ghost of Ruben Tejada just still live in Queens? Like, that's just where I'm so confused. But then you not only see McNeil doing it, you see guys like Marte doing it and Lindor and everybody else. That's where I'm just so confused.
Of what? Other guys doing this slide?
So they, I'll send you the video right now. It's a 20-minute video. I'm not expecting you to watch it. But there's sort of a, oh, shit. Oh, Connor has came in. Are you ready?
Yeah.
He claims that the South Carolina spread is way too big. The biggest he sees them winning by is 8. NC State plus 11.5 might be the move.
There you go.
Might be the move. Anyway,
I get it.
Whenever the Mets would ground into a double play, it seems that they kind of just like ducked just to get out of the way. And I don't know if it's like a gamesmanship thing or whatever, but I don't know. It's weird how they don't try to break up double plays.
Yeah. And it's partially the games got kind of soft. I mean, you could, once they got rid of the running over the catcher rule, it's sort of trying to take all the contact out of the sport. Yeah. And it is a part of the gamesmanship. I mean, you got to think these guys are, you know what? This is their livelihood. I mean, they got families to feed. You ruin a guy's career doing that. Look at Ruben Tejada; he hasn't come back.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I just don't know.
And also, the fact that Utley's a Philly, and Rhys Hoskins a Philly, it's really only Phillies guys doing this with us. And you know, I think that's a huge part of it, is because it's like the guys who are most verbal about hating the Mets are the ones who come out here. They do things like this.
I mean, we'll see. Do you agree with them throwing at him that late?
No, you're right. No, you're already down 4 runs. What is the point? What is the point? Like, really? What do you gain from that? You're like, oh, we got him. You're losing. He has 4 RBIs. You're losing 4-0, 5-0. What is the point? Really?
I don't know. Truly don't know. I don't get it. Go to the Yankees. They're 6-1. The New York Yankees are 6-1. I mean, what more do you want?
No, they're off to a hot start. The pitching could be a little bit better, but that's all I have to say. I mean, Rodon's been a kind of a
Rodon pitched good. He had one bad home run yesterday. Nestor's been rough. I'm liking how disciplined we are at the plate. I feel like that was a common theme last year of them just kind of swinging at pitches they shouldn't be looking at. Thank you. I'm liking the vibes. Verdugo says we're dogs. Juan Soto's been nothing short of phenomenal. Marcus Stroman's been great. I'm loving the new additions. Judge getting back on track. Started slow against Houston. Hit a home run yesterday against Arizona. The bullpen has been phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. Ian Hamilton has been what another great find by the Yankees. They found this guy last year as what was he? He was like 30. How old is he? He's pretty young. Going through all those injuries, slumming it in AAA. Comes to the Yankees. He's making an impact.
Yeah.
Making an impact.
I think the only real I mean, it is early. All right. And you're gonna see guys.
Oh, yeah,
don't get me wrong.
It is early, yes.
Judge is batting 179. You're not going to see that for much of the rest of the year. And I don't think Volpe finishes 409. But a guy that, again, we bring worry to every year because it just doesn't change. Giancarlo Stanton, 20 at-bats, has 11 strikeouts. He's batting 150.
He's so bad. It's just – I think
– this is going to hurt you down the line. It always does.
I know. Well, here's the thing. Is he the odd man out when Jason Dominguez comes back?
He's been the odd man out for – 3 years, Stan. It's this contract that he has. That's the odd man out. You can't get rid of it. Like Roberto Luongo says. I mean, he's not going to say it, but the front office is saying, my contract stinks. His contract for him is great, but he stinks.
Yeah. Like Cashman literally said how, like, we're just preparing for him to get hurt.
I mean, he's got 3 hits, a double, a home run, a single, and 11 strikeouts.
he has not been good. It just feels like that he's... I don't know what's up with him. I really don't know what's up with him. Someone tweeted the other day, now I don't believe in this, but someone said, if someone kidnapped Mike Stanton, I'm 100% in. Oh, no. Season might be done.
What?
Aaron Judge has signed an endorsement deal with Prime.
It's over.
It's over. We're done.
You know what? It's really over, Stan? When they put a Met uniform on. This team's killing me.
That's Lindor, true.
Lindor batting .063. Nemo batting .063. I hate Brett Beatty.
Luis Severino.
DJ Stewart 0-7, swinging 3-0. Like, what is this team?
DJ Stewart is a skinny Daniel Vogelbach.
Yeah, no, this team is it's something. And without Alvarez, we'd be... I mean...
Julio David Martinez. Please save him.
Stinks. Oh my god.
So bad. Yankees
stinks.
I know the pitching's just been so terrible. The Yankees open up at home Friday against Toronto. Then they have another 3 games against the horrible Miami Marlins. They're 0-7.
Yeah, they're real bad.
They are bad, man. Oh god. And then they're at Cleveland at Toronto. So it's a good start. It's a good start for the Yankees. Other baseball news. The Oakland A's are moving to Sacramento.
For 2 years.
2 years, and they're going to Vegas. I think with the way that this has been handled, it has not been handled well. I feel like with a franchise that has had this, like, how many World Series have they won in Oakland? I think they won 4 World Series in Oakland. They've won 8.
Rip 80, let's go. RBI single.
Oh, God. You scared the shit out of me.
Sorry.
God damn.
Alonzo scores.
They won 4 World Series in Oakland. I think they won 4 World Series in Oakland and another 4 when they were in Philadelphia back in the day. But.
That's Ricky Henderson's Coliseum. I mean, how are we really moving out of here? I can't believe they're moving out of Oakland. You can't. And it sucks because it's the way the ownership treated the team.
I know.
And
John
Fisher's really,
a fucking loser.
It's a disgrace to this fan base who has shown so much support for them over the years. And even looked opening day, there's more fans in the parking lot than in the stadium.
Yeah.
I think if he gave a shit about his team, he would do something. What's their payroll? I mean, it's not even Judge's salary.
No, it isn't. He saw how the Warriors left Oakland to go to downtown San Francisco. Did they go to downtown San Francisco?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't like them.
We saw how the Raiders left Oakland to go to Vegas. I think that he felt the pressure. I just think that he wanted a relocation. And
I think he didn't. I didn't realize what he had. And you see all these other teams leaving Oakland. You are Oakland now. This is you've the only one left, and you have a fan. You have a fan base that wants to back you up when you put a good product on the field. But when you triple A option a guy like Esteri Ruiz, who's batting 427, whatever.
All because he's wearing a wristband.
I don't get it. I really don't get it.
I don't understand. I really don't understand. I mean, will it be like, what are they? Are they going to be called? Are they going to be called the California A's those 2 years in Oakland? Are we seeing like a Washington football team situation where it's like they're going to be called this for 2 years until we move?
I don't know. And it's sad because they're going to go through a rebrand, and that is such an iconic jersey. It's one of the best in sports, arguably the best in baseball. And they're really just
you think of like the history too. Like, of course, you mentioned Ricky Henderson, even before Ricky Henderson, Reggie Jackson, then Mark McGwire, Jose Canseco, like Dennis Eckersley.
What they had in the early 2000s. I mean, go to what they had in the early 2000s. You had Donaldson, Cespedes. At one point, didn't they have Matt Olson, Matt Chapman? I mean, they had.
Yeah.
They've had.
Sean Murphy.
They've had guys who can put product in the field, and they're not willing to pay them, and they just want to get rid of them. And this little money ball scheme they're trying to work on, it just doesn't work in today's game. And they've had the players. They've had the product. They've won playoff games in the 2000s, and it's sad to see what's going on right now. It really is.
Yeah, it's bad. It's really bad. Shout out PFT for leading the movement of betting against the A's, against the spread, every day in a fuck you to John Fisher and the Oakland A's. It made me a lot of money.
It's just, yeah, I don't know. I just feel bad for A's fans. I mean, I was on the A's in Little League. Bad. Like, it's just not...
The A's in Little League.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
unbelievable. It's sad. It's really sad. Any other baseball news? Although I did
Brian's
see an article
0-14.
Dude, he's terrible. I mean, the Rockies are the Rockies are just as much as a shit show.
They got nothing. At least they're staying there, but they really got nothing.
Yeah, at least Denver's a good fucking sports town. Jesus. You saw that Verdugo article that came out in CBS Sports?
I did
how,
not.
Like, the Yankees were cracking down on how many chains Alex Verdugo actually wears.
That's unbelievable.
And then like 25 minutes after that article came out, he just fucking cocked the home run.
I mean, that's the way to do
it. It's working. All right, yeah, baseball's back. I'm happy. Tim, not so much.
Let's talk about something you're not happy about. Julius Randle, done for the year.
Yeah. It's tough. It's tough. We kind of felt like it was coming. We saw that Begley spoke to Josh Hart, and Josh Hart said that he'd be pleasantly surprised if OG and Randle came back this year. I know Randle was pushing for a comeback, but once he heard that if he came back, there'd be like permanent damage on his shoulder, then he kind of was just like, yeah, let me just get the surgery, get reevaluated in 5 months, and then see where it goes from there.
Yeah, I think this isn't the year.
Let me get a charger. Hold up.
Yeah. This just isn't the year for the Knicks, and it sucks. I mean, they were on a hot streak. They were on a roll. They were third in the East, fourth in the East at one point. Injuries dwindling them. I see this offseason for them as a real chance to boost that lineup. There's a lot of guys in free agency they can go after that. I mean, I know they're good now, but
I kind of like the team the way it is.
You can add a couple bench rotation guys, maybe a good, I don't know, could you get a better 3-and-D?
The thing with that is Hartenstein is a free agent. So maybe, I mean, they've expressed interest in him coming back, but
what are the other center free agent options?
Let's see. I mean, they have Jericho Sims, but
trade for the first pick, get Alexander Saar. That kid from France is going to be nice. Mobile center, can shoot the ball.
I'm going to say it. This draft class sucks.
Other than him, yep. I really think, Stan, he's going to be a heavy impact player in the NBA. I think he is exactly what you're looking for in a center nowadays. He's mobile. He's quick. He can shoot. Stretches the floor well. It's like a better offensive Miles Turner. Maybe worse defensively, but he's young.
All right. Here are the center free agents. James Wiseman. Who is an RFA, so I'm trying to find him. Yeah, I know. Nick Claxton's a UFA. Hartenstein's a UFA. Daniel Tice, UFA. Mason Plumlee, UFA.
You already said the name.
Who, Mason Plumlee?
You want Claxton.
No, I don't want Nick Claxton.
If you guys got Claxton, Stan, I don't... I mean, is that just hatred of the Nets? I like the way Claxton plays.
I like the way he plays, too, but you're not... like, who's going to start? Mitch or fucking Nick Claxton?
Well, if you're losing Hartenstein, I mean, I don't know. Who would you rather start, Mitchell Robinson or Nick Claxton?
I'd rather start Mitchell Robinson. I'd rather start Mitch, in all honesty. I mean
nobody
like
watches Nets games, so...
Yeah, not even Net fans watch Net games.
Shout out Pete Murray. Yeah.
Shout out Matt Luzzi, also a Net fan.
Shout out my brother. It just isn't going to happen.
Matt's a Net fan?
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. That's really unfortunate. So he went to Islander games in Brooklyn, and was just like, wow.
He's got Nets hats, man. Yeah, the Barclays Center, baby. Yeah, that's,
it,
I mean, that's
it?
A tough look. My dad for a while was a Nets fan. He's like, hey, we're Barclays. We'll root for the Nets. Went three times. Like, so no matter.
When I was younger, when like NYCFC would play games, like played all their games at Yankee Stadium, I was like, no, they play at Yankee Stadium. Those are my guys.
they are my guys. I got the scarf and everything.
Yeah.
I'm for the football club.
It sucks that Randall's out, but right. I still like the way the team goes. If OG comes back, then I'm confident in a playoff run, but if he isn't back by playoffs, we're fucked.
Simple as that. I think Orlando beats
Simple
you without them.
Maybe they might. I don't know.
Who's guarding Paolo?
Exactly. All right. Yeah, you got a point. It's going to be Josh Hart more than likely.
Yeah, as much as I love Josh Hart, I don't know. Paolo's a big boy. You've seen it firsthand.
Oh, yes, I have. I don't want to go against him. I love
would
that
you be mad if he like went on a run and beat you guys and then won the next round? Would you be like super mad, or would you be like, we were injured and now Paolo's going crazy? Like, I got my Paolo jersey on.
Tip of the cap. I'd give a tip of the cap.
Fan from the rafters.
Yeah, I'll root for him in secret. I'll just be like, you know what? Look at my boy go.
That's what if he won the final? Would you be going crazy if he was going?
All right, I would not be going crazy.
Paolo drops 50 in the finals, and you're not sitting there going, oh my god, that's my boy.
If I bet his PRA, then yeah,
that's the only way.
Yeah, that'll go crazy. Any other NBA news before we...
Cavs need to get their shit together.
We look
Milwaukee
at standings.
Is 15-15 since signing Doc Rivers. Yeah, that's just real good on his resume.
This has conference semifinal exit written all over.
This has conference, maybe first round exit. I mean, they stink. They just lost to Memphis and Washington.
Embiid's back.
Yeah.
Forgot to mention, Joel Embiid is back.
How much would I bet he gets hurt in like the next three games?
I think he stays healthy. And I hope they match up with the Bucks, because that'd just be awesome.
Nah, I don't want to play him if he's healthy. We're going to get cooked.
I mean, I kind of want the Sixers to beat the Bucks. It's just like the perfect revenge story, you know?
I want them to beat the Celtics.
But right now they're slated in the play-in, so... so they would probably have to beat the Pacers to get a look at the Bucks. Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I want to see the Sixers beat them. I want to see the Sixers beat the Bucks, because that'd just be awesome. It's beautiful poetry if the Sixers knock out Doc Rivers. That'd be awesome. Wait, speaking of the NBA, did you see what Ryan Russillo said?
No.
I don't know if this is like a meme or not, or if it's like, because I know Russillo's a troll. Ryan Russillo turned off Iowa LSU to watch the Trailblazers and the Magic. I think that's okay, and you should think it's okay too.
Nobody's watching the Trailblazers play the Magic, not even Trailblazers fans.
Dude, Russillo's a sicko, and I love him. I love Ryan Russillo.
You know what Bobby Ryan said?
Oh, yeah, he's a piece of shit.
Oh, Bobby Ryan.
Fuck that guy. Yeah, like, stop. We go to the West. We go to the West. The Mavericks move up to the 5 seed as the Clippers are slowly but surely tumbling down a little bit, don't you think? I mean,
they're not sitting pretty, but the Lakers, if you look at them, they are fighting tooth and nail right now.
I mean, the play-in looks on the West, I think it looks pretty – it just depends on seeding.
The thing is, if the Lakers have to play the Warriors, right, the Warriors are still in. Where are the Lakers at now? They're 9?
Yeah, they're 9.
Well, the Warriors 10?
Warriors are 10, yes. Phoenix 8, Sacramento 7.
Warriors beat Sacramento. I don't know. If Steph gets hot, I could see him moving on, but – we'll see. This team stinks. So
I don't even know who comes out of that. I mean, East play it. I think it goes Sixers play the Bucks, and then I think the Pacers play the Celtics.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you.
And then I think the play-in is horrible in the East. Yeah, the play-in
all these play-in teams in the West would smoke the play-in teams in the East.
We'll see.
Maybe not the Sixers, but I don't know.
That West play-in is going to be hell.
Yeah, no, especially for Lakers fans. So, shout out them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, shout out Lakers fans. Let's go to the NHL. What a game. What a game for the sport last night between the Rangers and the Devils.
Yeah, no, it was a barn burner. I mean, there was a ton of fights. The goal scoring was there. The electricity was there. Late goal by the Rangers. It was a good game to watch.
It was a very fun game to watch. And now the Rangers... dare I say? I'll say it. They're the favorites to win the President's Trophy. They have a 3-point lead with 106 points. Boston in second with 103.
I don't have anything to say about it.
We'll see. Obviously, in the back of your mind, there's the curse, the President's Trophy curse, where it's just, it's there. I feel like, here's the thing. And now I don't speak for teams that have fans of teams that have won the President's Trophy in recent years, but it kind of feels like if you win the President's Trophy, you have it in your head, like full-fledged, almost like a cult. Like, no, we're breaking this. Like, we're breaking this curse. Because that's honestly how I feel right now.
Tampa's historic run. They lost to Columbus in 4.
Yeah. Yeah, and they got swept.
You never know.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Right now, the Rangers slated to play the Capitals in the first round while it goes Carolina, Philly, Boston, Tampa as the first wild card, Florida, Toronto. Ooh, that's going to be fun. I hope that happens.
Yeah.
That'll be a fun game.
Toronto's out if they have to play Florida. I think Toronto's the odd man out in that little division over there.
Okay. West, if it ended right now, the Stars, who are the best team in the Western Conference. We'll play the Kings, who are the second wild card. Then it goes Colorado, Winnipeg. Vancouver plays the first wild card in Nashville. And then Edmonton, Vegas is your team.
Yeah, it's going to be nuts if that happens.
Woof. I'm excited. It's about to be that time.
Yeah, and maybe for the Islanders, as they are right on the outside, Stan. They are on the outside looking in. But tonight is a big night if you're an Islanders fan. We need some things to happen. We do need some things to happen. Pittsburgh needs to win tonight. They've been hot. Sidney Crosby is like a man on a mission right now trying to make this playoffs.
Yeah.
If he can get it done against Washington, who hasn't been great of late, they lost 6-2 to Buffalo 2 days ago. Isles beat Columbus. We're in a playoff spot, baby. We got a tough road to finish the year. The Isles got, after Columbus, it's Nashville, who's been unbelievably hot. But if we win tonight, that's 3 in a row. So we'll be right there with them. They got a 2-day break. They got the Rangers at home. That's a huge. They got to win that game. That's a huge game.
That's big.
They take one for the Rangers. That'd be huge.
Sunday or
2 days later? It's April 9th. April 9th on Tuesday. They got April 11th, Montreal, and the Rangers again. April 13th on a Saturday, Jersey, and finish year with Pittsburgh. If they can go on a little bit of a run here, Stan, just a little bit of a run, a little bit of a run. They have a legitimate shot, a legit shot of that third spot in the Metro Division. That third spot in the Metro.
I feel like there's...
Take a live look at it.
I took a look at it. I
They got a game at hand. Game at hand on Philly with 2 points behind them. I mean, that's they're right there. Washington, yeah, 2 games in hand, but they got Pittsburgh tonight. That's a tough matchup, especially with a team that, you know, hasn't really been winning lately, and their goal differential is minus like 35.
Fair.
Look at the teams that had. Detroit's been bad in their last few. I mean, look at their last 10. What's Detroit in their last 10? Detroit's 4-4-2. Washington 6-3-1. One game winning streak. House 4-5-1. I don't know. I don't know, Stan. We got a good shot here.
Oh, God. I just don't
Look at Philly. Philly's 2-5-3.
I know. Yeah, they've been bad. I just don't want.
We're going to kick your ass. We're going to kick your ass if it happens.
That, again, we said it last year, it might break podcasts. It truly will.
Listen, if we don't beat you, we're going to beat you. We're going to run you through a wall, and you're going to have nothing left in the next round. So either way, you're not coming out on top here. We're going to beat you. We will beat you, like, physically. We will beat you down. You know how it's going to happen. It's going to be a physical game. That fourth line's going to play 20 minutes. They're going to throw a body.
Oh, God. It's gonna be a show, as hockey playoffs are always. It's definitely gonna be a show. Is that it? What I saw? And then we're out of here, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. What I saw. LaGuardia Airport. I texted you. I saw Patrick Ewing at LaGuardia Airport.
I mean, that's crazy.
I know. Oh yeah, it was. The story of how we saw him, too, was very funny, based on the fact that my dad and I went to the wrong gate, and then we had to walk back to the right gate, which was past TSA, and then we saw him. I was like, oh, shit, Pat Ewing, what's going on? And he was like, oh, what's up? And I kept on walking.
Yeah. I mean, at least you saw him.
Hey, we saw him. We spoke to him. Great dude. He looks good, because when he was coaching at Georgetown, he was not there.
But now he's back.
He's back now. So good for him. Tim, I also sent this to you. My next one I saw is Chris Smoove. He is a staple of our childhoods. Did you see what I sent you yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, Stan, that's a classic. That's like 2K14.
No, but. Him playing this current 2K?
Oh, I didn't even see him play the current 2K one. Wait.
Oh, my God. I sent
it
to you.
I'm looking at it right
now.
Just
play it on the microphone. He's guarding Josh Giddey.
I'm pulling it up.
You can't even hear it. Oh, you got it? Okay.
I'm pulling it up.
He's being guarded by Josh Giddey and
one rebound.
Damn. I know what you did last summer.
That's crazy.
It's fucking insane. I was fucking crying.
That's crazy.
Oh my God, that was so funny. I know what you did last summer. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that is insane.
Connor's picks are in NC State plus 11.5, and he said to take Iowa. He thinks that they are destined.
Not happening.
LSU. I'll take Iowa.
Stan, what I saw is shout out to my grandpa Alan from Hershey. I saw him over Easter. He told me to shout out the Hershey Bears. They're on a roll in the Calder playoffs in the AHL, so shout out the Hershey Bears.
My next one I saw is the transfer portal.
Bronny James.
Bronny James, transfer. Bronny James, transfer. That's big.
I get you.
That's big. I think it comes down to three teams. I think it comes down to SMU, where his old coach, where his coach at USC is now hired at. Ohio State, duh. It's Ohio State. Bron, of course.
He's going to Ohio State.
Do not sleep on Duquesne. That's all I'm going to say.
He's going to Ohio State.
Do not sleep on Duquesne, though. Duquesne might be a legit look. It might be a legit look.
Because of his coach. I know. But hey,
let me just put it this way. Our parents made us go on visits to colleges that we did not want to go to, and we still went to them. Brandon doesn't want to go to Duquesne, but he might visit Duquesne as a formality to Drew Joyce.
Fair, but his dad wanted to go to Ohio State. He's going to Ohio State. I mean, come on.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. He's probably going to go to Ohio State, but we'll see what happens.
He's going to Ohio State.
Also, did you see? I don't think I ever told you about this. Do you know that there's going to be like Tom Petty country tribute album?
I did not know that. May?
Yeah, I did not. The list is like stacked. Like Midland singing Mary Jane's Last Dance.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm very interested to hear how that's going to go. Where is it? Had it. Then I lost it. Oh, here we go. But there's no. I got a Tom Petty tribute album. Yeah, so there's a lot of. Let's see. I know Chris Stapleton's in it. Luke Combs is in it. Dierks Bentley, American Girl. I think that's already out. Yeah, Running Down a Dream, Luke Combs. Here comes my girl, Justin Moore.
Is he also on? He's on the album too, right? He's in the songs with him because Brooks and Dunn did the same thing.
Oh yeah, yeah. Wynonna Judd's in it.
Oh my god.
My goat George Strait is in it as well.
Oh, George Strait's great.
Tim, if neither of our teams are in the Stanley Cup final, I say we go see him in MetLife with Chris Stapleton.
Yeah, just the Isles will be in the Cup.
Or the Rangers. We'll see. I mean, Isles. New York City FC tickets are $21 if you want to sit by the dugout at Citi Field. Going up against Atlanta United. Oh, my God. I cannot believe that we have a soccer team. Or do you want to go to the WNBA draft? See Caitlin Clark get drafted.
I'm okay. Sorry, but I'm okay.
At the Brooklyn Academy of Music. Why is like all the NBA drafts in Brooklyn? Whatever. That's going to wrap it up. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, X, and TikTok. Be sure to like this video, subscribe to our YouTube, leave a comment on this video. Be sure to follow us and rate us on Spotify.
Five stars only.
And we will see you guys Tuesday, where we will have an eventual national champion. And it will be the Purdue Boilermakers.
Alabama.
Calling it.
Roll Tide.
Calling it. All right. Peace out, guys.